This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Hello and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to invite you to have a seat at the table with us and consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically.
The world took that word inclusion and they use it to mean something else. But just looking at Jesus and his ministry, I love that Jesus is truly the inclusive one, that he included sinners and people that were not even expected to be around him and his friend. And he loved everyone. I think that leaders need to exhibit inclusiveness, that we talk to everyone and not just the people we're comfortable with.
Well, today I have our When She Leads team members, Krista Fox and Rosemary Katie. Hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
They're joining me today. And today our topic is establishing culture within ministry. We all know Craig Rochelle, and he has said that culture is what you create and what you allow. Culture is something that each ministry has, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. And so what we create and what we allow is very important to establishing a biblical culture within our ministry. So let's chat about that. So why is this topic important? Why are we having this conversation today?
I think that it is important to talk about church culture and the culture in our ministries. We talk a lot about our mission at our church. That's what we do. We talk about the vision we have for our ministry and where we want to go. And the culture of the church is what we feel. And it's important that people can come to our churches and they feel something that's Christ-centered. They feel loved. They feel accepted. They feel grace given to them. And these are all these values that we get from our Bible. And so you took that, Brenda, from Craig Rochelle. That's what I would say, too, is that he defined church culture really well, didn't he, in his podcast for leaders. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that it's what you allow in your church. And sometimes, to be honest, what you allow might not reflect your values. So what we value will kind of determine what our culture is in our church. So it's important that we can know what's important to us, what we value, how we want people to feel when they come in. And sometimes in a church culture, then, I think we'll get to it later, it might be that people don't actually get a feel for what our values are, maybe by how they're treated.
Right. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I like, Rosemary, what your husband in a recent conference we were at a year ago, the gospel culture conference that we all went to, he broke it down even, he simplified it even more. And he said, culture is how we do things around
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved that because that's like such an easy way to think of it. Like, how do we do things? So it kind of like informs like how we're going to all think and how we're going to all behave. So once we learn what the values of the church are, then it even goes further into how does that flesh out? By how we treat each other, by how we're, what's important to the ministry, what's not important.
As you guys were talking, I was just reminded of the verse in Proverbs 21:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people, this is the ESV, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And the other versions are a little different, but essentially it's talking about without vision and plans, things fail. And I think that is a huge part of culture and why we have culture and establish it, is to have a vision, to have a plan, to have a direction and a way to walk in that. Because without that, things fail, ministries fail, you know.
And everyone has culture. No matter if you think you have it or not, mm-hmm. you have it. You just haven't established it.
Yeah.
It will come, though. There is culture, you know?
Yeah, and talking about culture, it's interesting because Krista just came off the mission field from Brazil, and I was on the mission field in Hungary. And so culture is an important part of doing missions, that you know how to work within a culture of people and that you can separate things that would affect the gospel. Yeah. And just culture was a part of our lives living abroad, right, Krista?
Yeah, yeah. And learning that culture and bringing that into the church is so different. I know we talked about it a little bit, like the culture in the churches here in the States, even within the state of California to Colorado, it's different. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's going to be different in these other cultures too. But it's so awesome that the gospel doesn't change. Right. You know, we can have we can live in these different cultures and minister in them and serve in them, whether here or abroad, but the gospel culture needs to stay the same. How we do that is different, can be so different. And, you know, we see that in the churches here in the States, church to church, different.
Yeah, like you say, each culture is different, you know, on the outside, but the gospel culture, having a healthy church culture, it can look different in every church. You know, mission and methods can be different, you know what I mean? But the gospel never changes. And I was reading this article, and one of the things, Kerry Newhoff, I was reading an article by him, and he said, if culture is healthy, amazing things happen. Yeah. People love being there. People grow. Great leaders come and stay. Your church becomes attractive to the community and more fully accomplishes its mission. Culture is invisible but determinative. And he said, you can't see it, but it defines so much. A bad culture will consistently undermine an amazing mission, vision, and strategy. Wow, and I so loved
good.
That quote.
Yeah, that's so good. Who wrote that?
Kerry Newhoff.
And, you know, talking about culture, like just thinking about what I learned living in Hungary, culture is the attitudes and behaviors that characterize a group. And I think it all really does boil down to what you value in your church, what's important to you as you do ministry and as you work with people, what's important in your staff that you want to see people exhibit in their behavior as a staff and in their attitude as a staff. And so it's just such an important topic, I think, because it really does define the way people will feel when they come into your church.
Mm-hmm. It's so neat. I love that we're doing this topic, because sometimes if I was outside of this group and I was hearing something like, oh, the culture, maybe they're just going to talk about how to, you know, reach the people of the younger generation or the pop culture of now. And that's not anything but what we're talking about. Right. And so it's so neat that we can kind of define it and be helpful with it and explain it better. Because it's not that. It's not, how do we be more active with this generation or that next generation? But it's, no, how do we establish this doctrinally solid foundation to grow from and celebrating that culture?
Right. And then there's an intentionality to it too. And, you know, in our context of our church, we have internal values like that are just for the staff and, you know, and our policies and procedures. And then we have the external values that are like everybody in the church should kind of know what this church values. And that can be different from church to church. So what does the Bible have to say about this? What are some things we can glean from God's word?
Yeah, so I was looking around a little bit and just praying, and the Bible really establishes a culture of many different things. And some of the things I pulled out were humility. We can see that in James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It establishes a culture of inclusion. We can see that in Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male or female, for we're all one in Christ. You also can see that idea of inclusion in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about, you know, the different giftings that we all have and the body, you know, just the diversity of and the unity in the body of Christ. The Bible establishes a culture of forgiveness, of course. We see that all throughout the Bible, so many verses. But one in particular that I liked is in Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. It establishes a culture of hope. You know, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Grace, the culture of grace. Ephesians 2, 8-9, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. And consistency and order. And this is looking back at the book of Leviticus. And this book is just filled with this detailed laws and how to keep the laws. And so the Bible does establish a culture of order and consistency in how we do things too. And yeah. I can see that very clearly in Leviticus. And I think that's super important to anything we do in ministry, being consistent. And it's just a good representation of how of the Lord and how he does things. So, and when I look at kind of this list I have, this, you know, the culture of what the Bible culture of these things, it's so opposite of the world, isn't it? Like humility, inclusion, inclusion maybe is kind of a hot topic now, but forgiveness, hope, grace, all of those things are kind of really opposite of what the culture of the world is mm-hmm. setting up. And if we have these things, our church and our ministries are going to be strong.
Right.
And we need these things because every single person that comes into our church or ministry is going to need these things.
Right.
And we're going to need these things. We need humility. We need to, you know, forgiveness, hope, and grace. And we need to offer those things as well. So,
and I think some of the things that we should consider, I know for us, you know, culture starts at your values and then as you live out your values. And so in our context, you know, our mission is to lead people to know, love, and serve Jesus. And so that is our sort of goal. But things like valuing the Word of God, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the leading of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, prayer, Philippians 4:6, spiritual growth, 2 Peter 3:18, serving, you know, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, Mark 10:45. We value leadership development. We value ministry or missional living. So we value unity. So all these things that we value then become that filter through then what we say, okay, well, then someone comes up and says, hey, I want to do this. Well, then we go back to our values and go, okay, does this promote what we're valuing in our ministry? Is this the DNA of who we are and what we want in our culture? And we're going to establish that, and then you have to maintain it, right? Because you have to establish the culture. He says create it, but then you have to maintain it so you don't let you, because then that causes mission creep, right? If you're allowing culture to just come in and take over, or people maybe that come in from the outside bringing a different culture into your body, you know, you have to kind of like form that and get them to conform really to your value system so that then you don't get this mission creep as far as like, you know, no, God's given us this mission. We're going to continue on this mission. We're filtering everything through this mission so that we can accomplish.
So what you're talking about, Brenda, is so good about, you know, just the way you try to make the culture in your church felt by everyone. And what I wanted to bring up was the importance of the leadership in the church and how it's the culture is reflected and exhibited by them. And, you know, it's something to think about that when you choose, you know, who's going to work with you in ministry, when you're hiring people, and when you go about just putting people in positions of leadership, you really do need to get to know if they reflect your church values. Do they reflect what's important to you and what is going to define your culture at your church? Because these people will come in and serve and be in positions of leadership. And it's hard to make them agree with the values if they just don't. It's hard to make them change. You know, like if your value is to be humble, it's really hard to make someone be humble if they're not going to have that value for themselves.
Yeah. And it's a fine line too of what you guys are saying, but also leaving the door open for them to bring in a little bit of new culture too that fits alongside what's already going on without changing the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, I get maintaining, of course, but there has to be room too for the new things to come in too, but not to change, of course, the foundations of these things.
Well, you might be talking about like a new method or a new way to do something, not necessarily a new mission or a different vision.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, these people that would come in positions of leadership or people that you hire on staff, that it's important that they do have these values within them already. And you can teach them methods, you can teach them skills, and you can help them grow as leaders. But I really think it's hard to instill humility, like to make someone humble who's just not, to make someone gracious who's, you know, just doesn't see the point of it and doesn't, you know, you can teach people skills, but the culture is based upon the values that you have. And those values are hard to force upon someone or, you know, make them instill in their own lives.
And it really comes, like you guys said, from the leadership. There you watch how the leadership, whether it's the pastor's wife, the pastor, ministry leaders, they watch how we handle things. When I'm looking over our list of these things we've talked about, like humility and grace, inclusion, forgiveness, grace, consistency, how do we do these things? Are we just saying that these are important? Or are they actually seeing it while we're ministering to them and to others in our church? Because... because they're going to, you know, hard times come, difficult things happen. We have to minister through them. Do they see us continuing to pour out grace and love when we want that ourselves? Do they see us forgive when, you know, it's so hard? And so that is part of establishing the culture, because once you get that through the leadership and people can see that, they want that. And that is the most teachable, I think, is that they can see that through their leaders. And because like you said, Rosemary, you can't teach humility, but God will show somebody that. Right. And they can want to be like, you know, to model their lives after something that they're seeing and work towards that. And so it really starts with us as leaders in the church, how we're going to show this, how we're going to develop this and demonstrate this idea of culture, because we can't just say it. You can't just say, hey, we have to be consistent, but then, you know, I'm going to have a ministry one day and then the next week we're not going to have it. And then that's not consistent.
Yeah, right.
And so it starts with us.
And our job is to model it. So if our values are going to shape the culture in our church, we need to be modeling those values. We need to show what's important in the ministry we lead or we're involved in or where we're at by just living out those values and by the way we treat people. And it's going to be the way people feel when they come to church. So, you know, it really is something important for leadership to understand that it's, you know, and we're going to be gracious with each other, not saying we're going to get it right every time. But it's important to say that here we value forgiveness. Here we value grace. There's so much in our values, you know, because we could even say that it's going to change between, you know, who you hire as church staff. I would bring up something that's maybe not obvious, but I think a part of having humility is just being able to kind of laugh at yourself. And for example, you know, I was going up to teach in a women's Bible study and I had spilled coffee on my white shirt and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? And, you know, the way you communicate that kind of problem, I guess, is important. It's going to show what's important to you. So do I really care how I look and what people are going to think of me over, you know, just I wanted to show that I can laugh at myself. I wanted to show I have, you know, humility and I'm going to not be affected to be able to teach the Bible and be here by a spill on my shirt. And so, you know, just little things like that, like having humility, being able to have a sense of humor, those things also affect the culture around your church. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously here.
Right. That's good. And I think part of that, what you're talking about, is being more transparent too, as leaders. Like, you know, we can, people in the church and the ministries can see us exemplifying this culture, but are we, you know, being somewhat transparent with our lives as well? And talking with these people, there are friends, there are brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we sharing our lives with them or are we not, you know? And as we share our lives and our hurts and our struggles, they're right there with you. You know, there are boundaries and things in that, of course, but they can see all of this come out more. And that really helps the culture of the church too, when there's this transparency of life and struggle, especially with the leaders, you know? Yeah. With boundaries, of course.
Yeah. So, Krista, you were talking about inclusion, and I actually think that's so important in our church culture. And, you know, I think the world took that word, inclusion, and they use it to mean something else. But just looking at Jesus and his ministry, I love that Jesus is truly the inclusive one, that he included sinners and people that were not even expected to be around him and his friend. And he loved everyone. Oh. I think that leaders need to exhibit inclusiveness, that we talk to everyone and not just the people we're comfortable with.
That's so good.
And yeah, and I think it's so important that we exhibit inclusiveness and that we make sure we go to people who are by themselves or alone or there for the first time. I think it really exhibits gospel culture when you go and you really lift up people, and you're that person that brings like the cup of cold water to someone in need, and you don't do it because you expect anything in return. I think it's easy for us to go to people that we might, you know, have a friendship with or get along really easily with, someone who's like us, but truly gospel culture is like Jesus, where he went to sinners and to children and people who were unexpected, who couldn't give him anything in return. Mm.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. We had a quick example of that in our church this weekend. We have a deaf ministry, and one of our pastors just brought attention to it and taught the congregation how to say like amen, mm-hmm. and sign, and really just said like, go over and talk to them. Like, he was establishing culture for our church through doing that. He was giving the vision, establishing culture, like, hey, they're part of our church and they can communicate. It might be more difficult, but, you know, get to know them. And so that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's like being inclusive, and then as leaders teaching the church how to be inclusive. So good.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to exhibit it as a leader. And you're not just going to talk about it, but you have to show what your values are by doing them.
Yeah. So good. Did you have another example?
I did want to talk about, you know, what's really interesting are the voices that are really loud at the church, right? Like the complainers.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Nope.
We don't have any of those here, Rosemary. I don't know what's wrong with your church.
Oh, I don't know. The thin air just makes people lose it. Maybe in Colorado.
It's all that altitude. But, you know,
just, yeah, I know, right? There are some people that just seem to be the loud voices at church, and, you know, they get heard around church. And this whole thing we talked about, defining culture, is something also that you create but allow. And, you know, you as a church leadership, you don't have to allow these people with, you know, bad values that don't reflect your church to be really heard, or, you know, taking in what they say to change what you do, if that makes sense. I think it's important that we exhibit that in what we allow at our church.
That's so good. Yeah, the loud minority. And if they have somebody's ear in leadership, or, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, sometimes the loud voices do get heard. And so that's important as leaders to recognize that, is, I think, is what you're saying. Like, you have to, that's what Carrie Newhoff was saying, right? You have to recognize that and put a stop to that, to where you're not allowing the loud voices to dictate what's going on.
You would hear what they say, and then you need to decide from there what you're going to do with it.
Right.
You're not going to give it more time if it's not reflecting your values, if it's not going to help at the church.
Wow, that's so good. That's actually just speaking to me right now, Rosemary. Thanks for that. Because those situations come up where you're like, you're tempted, because you get worn down sometimes by the loud voices, like the people that are just coming at you complaining, and you can kind of get worn down to where, oh, just give them what they want so that they stop yelling. But that's not the right thing to do.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's, yeah. No, you want to be led by the Spirit. You want to follow Christ. You want to do what he's shown you to do. And you, and these people come along and try and take that away and change you. They manipulate and you can't let it.
Yeah. Amen to that. I think, too, when you have the values that are teachable and knowable and people know what the values of the church are, it then when someone's being held accountable or there's, you know, there's accountability or people are challenged with the scriptures, they're much more likely to embrace that. Like, because then the goal is like, oh, this is about discipleship.
Yeah.
I'm not a consumer at church. I'm a contributor. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things, there's ways that we state our values. Let me see if I have any examples of what I'm talking about. But there are certain ways that we state our values so that people can grasp onto them and understand, you know, what we're trying to say. Like our missional living, our value, we say we live out a genuine faith and intentionally share that faith with others. So leadership development, we empower people to their highest calling. Serving, we're contributors, we're not consumers. So there's ways that we can put those value systems mm-hmm. into the church so that when things do come up, then they know, oh, this is for my good.
Yeah.
This is valuable. This is healthy. So it's not a surprise to anybody mm-hmm. or anything. So taking that, like maybe even a step further into like maybe women's ministry, children's ministry, because I know there's an identity to each and every ministry. And so a couple examples, if we're kind of getting into the how, a couple examples I have in women's ministry is we've created a few of our own little sayings that like that come up that we think, oh, this is really helpful. We were having trouble with people not feeling worthy enough to serve or not feeling equipped or not feeling like they could step out in the calling that they felt like God gifted them. And then, but they would say, oh, I can't do it, you know? And what we recognized is that was fear.
Yeah.
And so we put in a saying in our ministry that just said, we just said, do it scared. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. And so everybody kind of mm-hmm. learned like, hey, when God's challenging you to do something, we just do it scared around here. And that became like this almost yeah. mantra.
I think Elizabeth Elliott said out. Something like that too.
Did she? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have another one that says stay in your lane.
I like
and
that.
And it's kind of like, that's you know what I go-to. Mean? You've got boundaries yes. and you don't need to be worried about what everybody else is doing, like stay in your lane. So mm-hmm. there was a few things that just came up and that helps not inform culture, but that helps maintain it. It's like it keeps it within its yeah. boundaries. So I don't yeah. know if you guys have examples on the how-tos.
How? I just am thinking personally, like, as I prayed through some of these things, I look to Jesus, like, how did he do these things? How
yeah.
did he?
Like, always a good
yeah,
idea.
Let's look to Jesus. And so for me personally, my heart's always with, like, the marginalized and the kind of the ones on the outside. And Jesus' heart was there, too. And so I look at, like, the woman at the well in John 4. You know, Jesus was there and talking with her. She mm-hmm. had many husbands and he loved her mm-hmm. and he, you know, cared for her and spoke to her when he shouldn't have been talking to her.
Right.
And so that's one example of how. Another example I look at is the Good Samaritan, you know, in Luke 10. And all these people pass this guy on the street. And here comes this guy, this other guy, and he's going to love him. He's going to take care of him. He's going to pay all this stuff. That's another example of how to create this culture in our church. The last one I thought of just personally, and this is more of my heart from the culture, like of the church that we started in our ministries. But of course, I can't change my heart, so I still right. have this wherever I yeah. go, is the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22:10. And so I think most of us have heard of this parable. You know, he goes and he calls out, Jesus calls out the kings and all these good guys. None of them come. And so then he goes and calls the poor guys, right. the guys on the outskirts, and they come. And I just learned a lot about the Lord's heart in that. And I share a very similar vision and heart in that. And that's how, like, for our culture in the church that we planted and what we did, we didn't follow these things like, oh, there's right. these three. It just kind of fit.
Right.
Like, that's our heart, and this is what we're going to do, and the culture in our church is around that as well. And so all of these things kind of came around that. So you can see the people in, well, it's not our church anymore, but the church back in Belém, Brazil, that they have this heart for the marginalized. We have homeless that come off the street, and it's not one or two people that are rushing to them. The whole church knows how to love them because they have that heart for that person.
So great. And what I love about the gospel is that here's all these different cultures, and he's given different personalities and missions to different church bodies. And it's so cool to see that, like, even there in Brazil, working with the marginalized, he gave you culture.
Yeah.
This is what you can do. Our context, we're in, you know, suburbia in a large church, mm-hmm. and he's given us culture. Yeah. That we can adhere to. Yeah. And it's just so great to see
it's
that
so great.
Whether he's speaking to one or thousands, there's value in everything that we do. God's called mm-hmm. us to all different things. And so it's, I think, in establishing culture, it's establishing a culture that's going to work for the people you're trying to reach, too. You have to take them mm-hmm. into consideration, like, what should be, yes, there's certain things. The word of God is always going to be valuable in every culture, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But serving might look different, you know. I mean, missional living might look different, mm-hmm. but he's given us that, and it's profound. And
it is. It goes back to, like, 1 Corinthians 12 that we talked about earlier, just really knowing, like, and like you said, staying in your lane. And we need all these different types of churches and missions and ministries, because not one is going to do it all. And so we need the church that's out in, you know, doing these things that has, we need the church that's more and focused on the people. We need all of that, because that's the body. One institute can't reach it all.
No.
And we all need to kind of stay in our lane in that. And, you know, I know my lane, and when I get out of it, it feels really weird.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm just going to stay in my lane. There's a lot of things in my lane, but I know the things that aren't.
Yeah, and it's not looking at other ministries going, gosh, we should do what they're doing. It's like, no, God has different things in the big C context of the church. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And one ministry cannot do it all.
No.
And so you just do what God's giving you.
Yeah.
Faithfully and to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. And I would say this, if you're listening and you're saying, gosh, we have an unhealthy culture, or we have a culture that, you know, we haven't created off our values, or it mm-hmm. just came to us, or we've just let it happen. I would say this, like, if you don't like your culture, you can change it. There are ways mm-hmm. that you can be intentional about changing it. First, start with your values. Like, what do we value in this particular ministry? Find out what the church you're serving in, what their values are, and then what value, you know, what are our values in this particular ministry? And they might be a little different. Yep. For each ministry that you do.
Well, I know your husband Ted had said this to us a couple years ago, and I've said it before, even on this podcast, it stayed with me. Like, he said, you create the culture you want in the church. And that stayed with us, and we're like, we do have a role in this. We can be active in this. We have a part of this. We're not like, oh, we're swayed by all these different people. Because I think sometimes, maybe in the beginning, especially of newer ministries and church plants, you kind of feel swayed to this and that and that. But when you know for sure, like, no, you create it.
Right.
And so what are you going to be actively doing in that? And when I heard that, it was like, oh, a light bulb. Oh, of course. We are the leaders. We're going to help create this with others, not just ourselves, of course. And we create this. And from there on, things really change, because we're like, we have a responsibility to create this. It's not, we're not going to let it happen to us. We're going to be proactive and create. And we did. Yeah. And I think the Lord really blessed the church down there.
Yeah. I loved, and we're talking kind of about the hows we've kind of shifted, but Carrie Newhoff gave 5 steps in creating and maintaining culture. And I actually really love these, and I want to read them. And you can just Google, I think it's like Carrie Newhoff 5 steps to church culture or something. But he said, step one, you need to, and this was in changing your culture, which is kind of what we're talking mm-hmm. about right now. But he said, step one, identify and eliminate the toxins. And he said, the way that you look at this is like people who like conflict, selfishness, personal agendas, Even toxins like lack of passion for the mission can be lethal to a church. Mm-hmm. So his step one is identify and eliminate toxins. He went on to say step two, model the change you want to see. And you, both you and Rosemary both talked about, like, you know, as leaders, we have to model. Pastor Chuck Smith used to always say, more is caught than taught.
Yeah, that's
you know
good.
What I mean? So, like, we need to model that. Step three, and I'm going through these. He has much more on his website. But step three, he said, you start with who embodies your values. And Rosemary talked about this. Like, who is it that comes in and bother and embodies those values? Rather than start with what we valued, I decided to start with who embodied the best of our church culture. Mm-hmm. So who's already embodying that? Step four, he talks about isolate the unique principles. And basically on this one, he was saying, you know, because, like, what are the characteristics of those who embody it so you can isolate it? Because they serve so selfishly, because it's not about them, because they are so generous, because they are always considerate of other people, because they make it happen, because they are all about the common mission, vision, and strategy of your church, because it's, you know, and then the opposite, like the toxins he was talking about earlier, he said, because it's all about them, because they criticize and don't contribute, because they don't actually value unchurched people, because they don't serve, but they rather be served. Those are some of the things like that you look out for those that when you're isolating these unique principles. And then step five, he ended by saying, create memorable and exportable language. And he said, use two-word phrases for each value. Mine were three, like do it scared and stay in your lane was four. But just little things where you can, like, where that's people good. Can memorize these things for culture.
Do it scared.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be a life verse for me right now.
Just do it scared.
You don't know what you're doing. It's okay. Just do it scared. God's got you. Those are great. The first one's super hard. I know, like, none of us want to eliminate anyone or anything, but that has to be done with such wisdom, huh?
It really does, because, but if you don't take a look at these cultural moments in your church's history, you really develop unhealthy practices.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. I remember really early on in our ministry, Ted came home one Sunday and he said, I don't like the culture that's being set. And we didn't know any of this that was going on, but he knew enough to know, like, I don't like
something
this culture.
Was off.
Something was off. So he identified what it was. And then he actually got five men together that he saw that embodied our culture. And he pulled them in and he said, I want to change the culture and I want to do it with you guys. This is where I'm going. This is what I want to do. And I want you guys to help establish it. And that's exactly what happened. Wow. And he said, the other people that aren't embodying it, I'll use Carrie Newhoff's language, they're either going to see it and get on or we're going to leave them behind. Mm. But we're not going to keep that culture. And I can't tell you how many churches I see that just sit in bad, unhealthy culture for the lifetime of their church. Mm. And it kills the church.
Do you think they know that it's unhealthy?
I don't think so. I don't. Maybe they know it. They've identified it, but they can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know it, and they just think.
I think
it's
in the
just
beginning
what God did.
Of our church plant in Calvary Baling, it wasn't so much a healthy culture. It was just there was some practices we were doing that we thought we were being helpful to other people in the community and other churches that were coming to us. And we had a pastor come down from the States and was like, listen, this isn't doing them a service at all. You guys are kind of getting in the way of them being accountable to their pastor instead of, and we didn't see it like that. And then when we understood,
like, no, we're helping you.
We're like, we're helping. But then we realized, no, we're actually getting in the way of them being accountable to their pastor and what they're bringing to us. And when we saw that, we stopped. And, you know, some people were upset and some people appreciated it. But had he not said anything, I don't know how we would have changed anything.
Right.
You
and
know,
then you would have just sat in that unhealthy culture.
So I appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of Paul and I think of Timothy and the Word just giving us so much culture, like pastoral culture, leadership culture, you know, just through their words. I mean, just that training ground for us. So it's just something that is super important. If you're listening and you've never researched, you know, ministry culture. I mean, do yourself a favor, get acquainted with it.
Yeah.
Because it will be helpful to any ministry.
Yeah.
It's
really helpful.
Changes things. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts that you have, resources?
You know, there's so much online for resources now. I feel like if anybody just Googles, you know, gospel culture or culture in the church, they can just find a plethora of that. But, you know, I think we really touched on this, and I don't think I can add anything else right now.
The only other thing that I could think of as a resource would be the gospel center. I think it was called Gospel Culture, a gospel-centered culture. The conference that Calvary Global Network did last year in June was so good.
Yeah,
so many workshops, so many main teachings on this idea. Probably one of my favorite themes ever for all the conferences I've been to over 30 years. If you can get your hands on the archives for that, I would say listen in. To that, and then obviously Carrie Newhoff has got some good stuff on, and then Craig Rochelle, he's done some great work for ministry culture as well. Hey, well, thanks for joining us today. We hope that you find this content helpful. When She Leads is an active community for women in ministry. We have live training events, a podcast, this one, Zoom gatherings, and our all-new care and coaching teams. Visit whensheleads.org. for all that's going on within our community. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep up. Until next time.